From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Well, that was President Roosevelt's speech, which he delivered in Washington, D.C. on December 8, 1941, just one day after the assault on Pearl Harbor. And the nation reflects on the anniversary of the surprise attack that led America to join World War II. Happy Friday. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, you're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, President Trump has tapped William Barr for his attorney general and Heather Nauert for the United Nations ambassador. In just a moment, we'll talk with FRC's Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin about those two hires and also get his thoughts about Pearl Harbor Day, a day that we honor and we say thank you to those who serve and continue to serve our nation. And a teacher in Virginia, get this, are you ready for this? Has been fired because of what he would not say. This is the definition of unconstitutional compelled speech. Sean McGuire with the Family Foundation of Virginia was in the school board meeting. He'll be here with his observations. And Democratic National Committee Chair Tom Perez, this is in the you can't make this up category, on Wednesday, he complained that voters are influenced by what they hear in church on Sundays. Listen.
And I had someone in Northwestern Wisconsin tell me, you know what? For most of the people I know, their principal sources of information are Fox News, their NRA newsletter, and the pulpit on Sunday. And it should come as a surprise to no one that our message doesn't penetrate. It should come as a surprise to no one that that person has elevated the issue, of course, to the top, because that person on the pulpit is saying, ignore everything else that this person has done and is doing. We have to focus on one issue of Roe versus Wade. And people buy it because that's their only source.
Because that's their only source, the church, on news of importance. You know, folks, all I have to say is about that is, well, duh. I mean, that's what the church is about. That's what sermonizing is about. That's what living with a worldview is all about. Matter of fact, I would suggest maybe we're not doing enough of that. We'll talk with Michael Hirsch, pastor of Calvary Christian Church in Bowling Green, Virginia. He's also the chairman of the Virginia Watchman Council. And, of course, we're going to take your calls later in the show. All of this content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter, at T. Perkins, and you can follow me, at R. Jones Reports. Well, as I mentioned, President Trump has picked State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert to be the America's new U.N. ambassador. And the president also nominated William Barr as the new attorney general. With us now is our own retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He is the executive vice president of the Family Research Council. He was one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force and former deputy undersecretary of defense for intelligence. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Russ, I'm glad to be with you.
Well, on this Pearl Harbor Day, Remembrance Day, I say thank you for your service. And let's just chat about that a little bit here today. You know, we're living in a time where it seems like in some pockets of the world, maybe we don't remember often enough. What is it about this generation in your experience that many call it the greatest generation? Define that for us.
Well, this was a generation that answered the call of duty. They were attacked. They answered the call. They went off to war. And then they came home wanting nothing except an opportunity in the America that they had defended in World War II, whether they were in the Pacific or the European theater. They came back and went back to their jobs and looked for opportunities, but there was no expectations other than just that, opportunity.
It was an opportunity, and many of them knew it was going to be bad, and most of the upper chain of command knew it was going to be worse than many probably feared. And what would you say to this younger generation that maybe doesn't understand it, General, when old dad here at 58 decides to sign up for the Mississippi State Guard and put on a uniform, and maybe they don't get it, and others, you know, what do you say to this generation that maybe is pretty busy with just trying to understand other parts of the world and in their own life?
Well, I say to them, stop and ponder the sacrifices that have been made for America by the military people that have stepped up and said, here am I, Lord, send me. The sacrifice is enormous. And for example, 1,177 men went down on the Arizona 77 years ago today, went to the bottom. Our generation today needs to understand that there's been a tremendous price paid for this country, giving us the right to be proud to be an American. And I am saddened when I see so many today as they disrespect our flag and our national anthem, and they don't stand when the flag passes by. They're not proud to be Americans, and that grieves me. So I say I've never talked to a person that served in the military that said they regretted serving. I've talked to an awful lot of people who say, wow, I wish I had served.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of my story. As you know, last week I got to be in South Carolina to watch a chain of command there, and surrounded by heroes, General. You know, you know that feeling, just in, I'm talking to one right now, surrounded by people who have put on that uniform. My command sergeant major, he was there, and gold medal winners, and so I just wanted to chat about that a little bit here today, because it does seem like there's a kind of a sense of patriotism that seems to be a little bit lacking, not a little bit, but a lot. And in every opportunity we have, I think it's a good opportunity to lift up what it is to live in a nation that has so many freedoms. And I know you fought and you served to protect those freedoms.
Well, and it was a great privilege to be able to do so. There is no right to serve in our military. It is a privilege. And that's one of the reasons. And I think the Obama administration, as well as the Clinton administration, got so far off track because they insisted that we should let everybody serve as a matter of fairness. There is no such thing as fairness in wartime. And there is no right to serve. It is a privilege to serve. And I was given that privilege for 36 and a half years, and I don't think that I didn't cherish that.
And you probably remember boot camp just like yesterday. I just graduated from our equivalent of that, got my ribbon, you know.
And, I do remember it.
And stayed in the barracks for about 3 months, off and on, and got to experience what that was like to have the communal living, and there is a sense of camaraderie that's built, to preparing for the common cause that, you know, I really think every young person in our country, I think, General, maybe Israel gets this right, where their men and women have a mandatory service. It's not real long, 3 years, I think, for the guys, 2 years for the women, but when I'm over in Israel, I really hear a deep pride about their nation.
Well, that's right, and it does give them, I mean, it gives every Israeli a common bond, and that is the common experience of serving in the military, regardless of how many years or how long they're actually part of that. They have all made the commitment, they've all served, they all have a common frame of reference with regards to that, and I think that they also see that as a rite of passage for being able to go on and pursue the things in life that they want to pursue.
And back here at home, in the White House, we have a few staff changes. Let's start with the United Nations ambassador to replace Nikki Haley, Heather Nauert, who many know from Fox News, and of course she's been working as the primary spokesperson over there at the Pentagon. And interesting move, they're not going to make that a cabinet-level position. Not sure if you heard that, but thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all part of the deal. They're putting Heather Nauert in, who has no
foreign affairs experience, putting her in as the U.N. ambassador. Number one, because she's a very, very bright lady. Number two, because she is very, very well spoken. And number three, she has a close personal relationship with Mike Pompeo. Mm-hmm. They're going to go back to what has been the norm. Nikki Haley was not the norm. She was made a cabinet secretary because she had been a governor. She insisted on being a cabinet secretary. But the person that really should be calling the shots with regards to what goes on in the U.N. is the Secretary of State. That's how it has traditionally been. And that's what we're going back to. We're going back to where Mike Pompeo is really the one that is responsible for the decisions at the United Nations relative to, you know, America's foreign policy and our interaction with our allies. And Heather Nauert is very close to him. She has been his spokesman, press secretary. She's very close to him, and I think what we're doing is because I have such a deep respect for Mike Pompeo, I think that I think we're going to be fine as a nation. I think she's going to do a good job there. She thinks on her feet. She can speak for herself. Yes. But it will put Pompeo in a situation where he can be consistent with foreign policy at the State Department as well as at the United Nations.
Yeah, and totally agree. Got to know Secretary Pompeo well when we lived in Kansas. And we're hearing about William Barr as the Attorney General. Definitely not his first rodeo. He served as Attorney General in the George H.W. Bush administration. Thoughts on him?
Yeah, from 91 to 93, he was the Attorney General for the Bush 41. I think he's going to be fine. I mean, you're talking about an experienced guy. I mean, my goodness, he was the Attorney General. Then he went out and became part of a very successful business where he was really kind of the responsible individual for mergers and acquisitions. And we're talking about billions of dollars, where he was responsible for in terms of these mergers and acquisitions. And now he'll come back in as probably one of the most experienced attorney generals, and experienced not only in, you know, law enforcement, but experienced in business and a much broader portfolio than we've seen before. I think he's going to be great. I think it was a good choice.
Yeah. Former general counsel and executive vice president of Verizon Communications, just small company, you know, there. Well, General, thank you so much. Appreciate your insights here today, and I hope you get a chance to rest a little bit this weekend. Predictions, I've got the big Army football game tomorrow, right?
Oh, this is Army year. Yeah, Army's 9-2 this year. The Army's going to win. I'll be there.
We expect a good report. Okay, you have a blessed weekend, General Boykin. Thank you so much. Appreciate your service.
And you too. God bless you.
God bless you. Love that man. Retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, FRC's Executive Vice President. Well, coming up next, a Virginia high school teacher fired for refusing to use transgender students' pronouns. When we return, we'll talk with Sean McGuire of the Family Foundation of Virginia. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Are you ready to take a stand? Now you can with FRC's new Stand Firm mobile app, which allows you to stay engaged and informed on the most important issues facing our country. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on issues of faith, family, and freedom with just a tap of the screen. Listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, and much more. Join Christians across America as we stand firm together. Visit frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Is that getting you in the mood? It's Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. That Christmas music, getting on the Christmas cheer. Well, a Virginia high school teacher was fired yesterday for refusing to use transgender students' new pronouns, a case believed to be the first of its kind in the state. And after a four-hour hearing, the West Point School Board voted 5-0 to terminate Peter Vlaming, a French teacher at West Point High School who resisted administrators' orders to use male pronouns to refer to a ninth-grade student who had undergone a gender transition. The board met in closed session for nearly an hour before the vote. With us now is Sean McGuire. He's the director of Grassroots with the Family Foundation of Virginia. Sean, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I understand you were at the school board meeting. Kind of set the stage. Describe what you saw there.
Well, set the stage, we found out about this story just 2 days ago when the local news affiliate broke the story. Mr. Vlaming had been suspended since early November, but it wasn't public knowledge until his attorney brought forward this demand for a public hearing. So we spread the word, and there were well over 100 community members turned out to support Mr. Vlaming at the hearing. They were waiting in a long hallway to go into the hearing room, but there was only seats for 38 people. So students were there, turned aside at the door, and when I left, there were still an hour left when the board was deliberating, and then they made their decision. Students were still in the hallway waiting to get in case any seats became available. So you could tell that the community really cares about Mr. Vlaming and that whole situation there.
And apparently, though, that did not influence the vote, 5-0.
Not at all. And I don't think anyone was surprised by the outcome. They kind of anticipated that the school board would vote, and they did vote unanimously to terminate Mr. Vlaming's position on the recommendation from the superintendent. The superintendent's argument was that Mr. Vlaming was insubordinate for refusing a directive to use male pronouns to refer to a female student who has undergone a beginnings of a transition to identify as a male. Mr. Vlaming expressed that he could not in good conscience do that and would refrain from using female pronouns. He would use the new legal name to refer to the student, but he would not, in good conscience, use male pronouns to refer to a female student. And so because of that, he lost his job.
He's taught at the school for, what, about 7 years? He spent about a decade in France. He was a French teacher there and told his superiors his Christian faith prevented him from using male pronouns for a student he saw as a female. And he had this student, correct me if I'm wrong, but last year and then this year the transgender transition happened.
Yeah, he has had this student for 2 years prior. And this summer, he did hear of the decision to transition, and he proactively reached out to the family, reached out to the student, who he greatly respects and wants to do all that he can to support. And he came up with a solution to help avoid peer conflict in the situation by telling all of his French students in his French class that they could all choose new French names to be identified by, so that this student wouldn't be singled out with a new name. All of the students could have new names. Mr. Vlaming was taking these proactive measures to avoid causing any hurt or offense to the student well before the conflict did actually arise in late October.
And you know, Sean, what you just described there tells me this is not tolerance, it's coercion, it's forcing somebody to have a particular view they may not want to have. But even as a public employee, though, doesn't he have constitutional rights of his own?
Yes, he does. Unfortunately, the school administration actually did tell Mr. Vlaming that his religious convictions had to be left at the door. So when he came in, he was told that he had to refer to the student with male pronouns, and if he did not, he would be fired. The basis for this argument was the guidance letter from the Department of Education, known as the Dear Colleague letter, that was released in 2016 under the Obama administration. He was given this in October of this year, over a year after the Trump administration has rescinded that policy.
Wow. So he got this news last night, and so now he's trying to deal with that. His record's going to have this on it forever. I don't care what they say. It's always there. Let's just talk about the injustice, really, of transgender mandates in public schools.
Absolutely. The biggest injustice I saw was it was a coercion to compel someone, a good man, to say something that he does not believe is true. The non-discrimination policy has no guidelines or regulations to help give understanding for when someone might be guilty of harassing a student on the basis of gender identity. So the administration, with autonomy, decided what that could constitute and determined that failing to use the, quote, proper pronouns did constitute harassment under that policy, which is completely different from all other standards for when a harassment might occur, which requires an element of intent and action. Refusing to say something never constitutes harassment in any other circumstance. So this is an incredibly unique set of circumstance where he was fired because he would not say something versus if he was saying something derogatory or cruel or mean repeatedly, then that might be harassment. But in this case, there is no justice in saying you've harassed someone because you don't agree with them and you remain silent.
Well, where does it go from here? Real quick, about 20 seconds.
They're evaluating their options. Appeals are open to them, but we don't know exactly what they'll do.
Sean McGuire, thank you so much. Thanks for keeping on top of this and keep us in the loop, would you?
We'll be keeping following the story closely. Thank you, Russ.
Oh, thank you. Sean McGuire of the Family Foundation of Virginia. I mean, folks, tolerance should be a two-way street, and we're just not seeing it. We're not seeing it in these situations in our culture today. It's a shame. It's a travesty. Well, coming up next, the Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez claims that Republicans have an advantage. Guess what it is? It's that people buy what they hear at church. Next, we'll talk with Michael Hirsch. He's pastor of Calvary Christian Church and chairman of the Virginia Watchman Council. I'm Russ Jones. You're listening to Washington Watch. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect. Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
And I had someone in Northwestern Wisconsin tell me, you know what? For most of the people I know, their principal sources of information are Fox News, their NRA newsletter, and the pulpit on Sunday. And it should come as a surprise to no one that our message doesn't penetrate. It should come as a surprise to no one that that person has elevated the issue, of course, to the top, because that person on the pulpit is saying, ignore everything else that this person has done and is doing. We have to focus on one issue of Roe versus Wade. And people buy it because that's their only source.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. If you're a Christian, you have one primary source. It's the Holy Word. Period. Like I said at the top of the show, my response to that is, well, duh. Yesterday, Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez blamed pastors and the influence, as you just heard, of the church for hamstringing the Democratic message on abortion. Joining us now is Michael Hirsch. He's pastor of Calvary Christian Church in Bowling Green, Virginia, and chairman of the Virginia Watchman Council. Pastor Hirsch, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Russ. Thank you.
You know, I hate to dumb this down just a little bit, but yeah, well, duh. I mean, that's Christians, you know, isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be in the Word. We're supposed to allow the Word of God to influence our worldview. What say you?
I think that that's exactly correct. We who are called to that ministry have three biblical mandates. Very simply, we're told in the Word of God to pray for leaders. We're also told to raise up and to elect good leaders, and we're told to be subject to ordinances, so we should definitely be actively participating. And that's not just for those in the pulpit, but for those that are in the pew and the prayer closet, that we need to turn out into the public square in positions of public service.
Right. And, you know, it was interesting. If you listen to his complete comments in context here, you know, he was giving the influence of religion on the right, so-called. It should come as no surprise that our message doesn't penetrate, is what he went on to say, that they're having a hard time penetrating the pro-choice agenda in the Christian marketplace, which I would think, you know, score one for our side. That's a good thing. We don't want that message to penetrate those that are going to the pews. or to the ballot box.
Some of the best, right. It's some of the best news that we've heard in a while, when the other side is saying that we're getting the job done and doing it in such a way that they're beginning to pay attention. And it makes you wonder if they recognize the place that the church has had in the building of our Republican America and in everyday lives, that they're so out of touch with mainstream America and their radical agenda that, you know, you're not going to hear that. So we are speaking a message that resonates with people. I believe what David Barton said, one of the greatest American Christian historians, he said, when you know the stand on life, you know the stand on liberty and every other sense of the values that they have, and we're called to preach biblically, to speak to the culture, to be that light. And the Watchman name comes from Isaiah 62:6. So thankful for the work that Tony Perkins and FRC are doing. It says, I've set watchmen on your walls. They will not be silent day or night. And we call on the Lord, and we engage the culture. We need to pray for the wisdom to engage biblically and courageously and winsomely. And then we should be sounding the alarm from the pulpit and take a bold stand to advance faith, family, and freedom.
And that's exactly right. You're a part of the Watchmen on the Wall network of pastors, and that's what you all are all about, isn't it? You are trying to sound the shofar, to sound the alarm, to actually get more pastors to speak to these difficult issues from the pulpit biblically, giving the parishioners the tools they need to make biblical decisions.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the Virginia Watchman Council is a nonpartisan, non-denominational network of clergy, churches, Christian organizations. And what they do is we come together, find the common ground biblically on those, again, biblical issues, and say, how can we advance and how can we defend the cause of faith, family, and freedom throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia? And I'm so glad to say that this is, you know, what we're doing in Virginia, but we're seeing this replicated across the nation. Again, with what a wonderful work that Tony Perkins and Watchmen on the Wall are doing in America. And talk about the last greatest hope. It's got to come from the pulpits. And then, as I say, get onto the public.
And you know what I find fascinating is that at what point do you think the left will understand there is a stronger guiding power for conservatives, for Christians? He's called God, Yahweh, in his book, the Bible, and the biblical worldview of a Messiah that comes to save. His name is Jesus or Yeshua. I mean, the ignorance or the elitism is so stark in this particular case here.
Well, you know, again, you go back to the founding of our nation, the cornerstone of our republic. You look at the Declaration of Independence. Thank God that I think that's common knowledge to most citizens. Sadly, it's not being taught in schools today. And again, we have to supplement from the pulpit. But we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator. I don't even have to quote the Bible to just begin to give a biblical worldview. I can just quote historic documents from the founding period,
Pastor,
and arrive at the same...
We're about out of time. Can you hold on? Will you come back after the break?
I'll be glad to, Russ. Thank you.
All right. Talking with Pastor Michael Hirsch, we're talking about, you know, the church being the final authority and the Democratic Party not liking that. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. We'll be right back.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference? Now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together and advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just a tap of the screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect. Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
There's something about that song that points back to a generation that just makes me smile. Is it in my mind? Listen.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Is it in my mind that things were simpler then? Is it just a fantasy? I'd like to think they were. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. We've been talking with Michael Hirsch. He's pastor of Calvary Christian Church in Bowling Green, Virginia, and chairman of the Virginia Watchman Council. And I want to throw out the phone number. We're going to field some calls, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. What do you think about the Democratic Party leader talking about the church and pastors and having so much influence in the lives of others? Pastor Hirsch, thanks for holding on. You there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is important, you said it just before we were ending, we should be encouraged that this is the message that's being received, that there's apparently some frustration there that this pro-abort message is not penetrating within the Republican Party for the most part and within the life of conservatives, and not to imply that Republicans are all Christians or all Christians are Republicans. That's not what I mean to do, but that it's simply... it's a message that's not sticking. And a matter of fact, I think the polling shows that we're winning on the life issue.
I think that's absolutely correct. And I think it's because we have the absolute authority and the absolute sanctity of life upon which we can stand. And, the truth is what needs to be put out there that will set you free. It does make you scratch your head, though, and wonder, why aren't they doing this?
Yeah, exactly. You can't tell me there aren't people within the Democratic Party that are pro-life. They're there. They just don't talk about it. The litmus test is pretty strong, though, within the Democratic Party, that this is the platform and the pro-choice mantra is the word of the day. But, Pastor, we've talked about this story and the one before that, the teacher that was fired because in your state there of Virginia, because he refused to say the alternative pronoun for a young ninth grade student that was transitioning genders. The battles are incredible. And you heard me maybe talking about the song, Bing Crosby and it just seems like the issues of our time, it's no wonder people are stressed out, and all the technology and the issues that are pounding on people. And I'd like to get your perspective on that. I'd like to hear from some of our listeners, and maybe we could field some questions together. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. But what are you seeing from the pulpit in regard to just kind of the bombardment of issues?
Yeah, well, you know, again, we recognize that the problems that we face in our communities, you know, all politics are local, and in our nation, they're not just political or cultural, they're spiritual. There's a spiritual root behind it. We have, of course, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. But the other side of that then is that in order to address these spiritual problems, we have to have a spiritual solution. And that solution, I think, needs to be brought into the public and brought about by spiritual leadership. And that's why Watchmen on the Wall and the Virginia Watchmen Council, we're championing pastors to transform their local communities and gathering together to pray with one another, to pray for the nation, to preach the Word of God and give people an understanding of the Word of God. People perish because of a lack of knowledge, and what better source of knowledge is there than the Scriptures themselves spoken with a clear understanding? And finally, we want pastors to know that they should never have to stand alone. I remember when our church was addressing a issue of zoning for a school for children with disabilities in our church building, that I was so pleased to see that we had support from the Christian community, from other pastors, from FRC. Brother Tony was so wonderful to have us on there and share. And then when the thing turned around, what a victory that we had across our city. So I believe the answer is in the Bible, and it needs to be heard clearly from the pulpit.
Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We're talking with Pastor Michael Hirsch of Calvary Christian Church in Bowling Green, Virginia. You know, some of the things that we continue to see, my life and, you know, my wife and whatnot, as we look around us, just the pressure to cave on certain issues and the pressure, like this teacher we talked about earlier in the show that was fired because he simply wouldn't say a pronoun that was different than the biological nature of the student. And it feels like we're being forced between our two ears and in our brains. It's no longer what you believe, but it's what you think. And if you won't conform, you're going to be pushed aside. So that does make our school boards particularly vulnerable to these kind of decisions that we're seeing. And you know, I'm encouraged, Pastor, by you, and you're not apparently afraid to get into the battle. What word might you have for our pastors and, you know, our deacons and our elders and whatnot that are listening right now?
Sure, Russ. I think, you know, if we go back to the simple basics, the simple foundation. I happen to be a first generation American son of an immigrant. My father was a Jew fleeing Soviet Russia and pre-Soviet Russia and came to America. And my citizenship does not cease when I step onto the church property. My rights, as enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, do not end when I step into the pulpit. And we will speak the truth without fear or favor. We realize that one day we will give an answer to God. And it's funny, Russ, because the very thing you said about people wanting to transform is the very exhortation we have in the Word of God to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed. And the interesting thing is, if you are transformed, then you help others who have found themselves conforming because they see the difference. That's what being salt and light is. Being in proximity, making yourself available, speaking to the issues, giving biblical counsel, and then standing in lock arm with others.
We're talking with Pastor Michael Hirsch just about all kinds of things of importance, primarily, you know, the Democratic Party, that Tom Perez, who says that the Bible and the church is an influence too much of an influence and should look outside of other places. Would love to get your thoughts on this. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You know, when I went to seminary, actually, Pastor, and one of the things that I learned in seminary was let the Bible interpret itself. And I was reminded of that when I heard these words from the DNC chairman, that first, before you look at other commentaries, let the Bible interpret itself, that it does a really good job of interpreting within the text itself. Don't look outside and all of those sorts of things. And I kind of, you know, I thought of that when I originally heard this quote. So.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because you think of the recent history and the upheaval that you see there in the DNC. Just go back to the last convention. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they had to vote twice to have God mm-hmm. in their platform. Where on the other side of the aisle, we have the most evangelical, biblical worldview platform in the Republican Party presently. And then, my goodness, Russ, look at what is happening in the party. We just had an exodus, which I'm actually happy for. I think the next 2 years are going to be fun. I think we're going to see the Democrats imploding. They have no basis. They have no solid ground. And that's what the Word of God provides for us. It's the rock upon which we're building. It's mm-hmm. the rock upon which we're standing. It's the rock of ages. It's the truth. And again, when we see that truth put into application in public policy, our communities are going to be healed. They're going to be wholesome. They're going to be healthy.
Very good word. Well, let's go to Julie from your state, Pastor. Julie in Virginia. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I was very moved by the story of the teacher with the transgender student. But my question is, why, as Christians, are we against transgender?
Wow, that's a good question, and I think it's a pretty direct question. I'm going to let you take a stab at that, Pastor.
Sure. Well, when Jesus was asked the question about divorce in the New Testament, it's interesting that it referred back to the Old Testament, where he said, in the beginning, God created them, male and female. And, of course, we know that in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image. So this is interesting because both of these issues, the transgenderism and the gender identification confusion and abortion, are directed at one thing, and that's destroying the image of God. And so you begin to understand
we go back to
the
Genesis.
Gender...
Sorry. But now if we don't go back to Genesis, because, of course, you know, Jesus did say to look back about divorce, but then Joseph did almost divorce Mary before she had Jesus, so we know divorce was okay with the, or was practiced certainly in the Jewish community. I believe from my recent reading to my children about the Jesus birth story, I do remember that phrase coming up that Joseph was contemplating divorcing Mary. But if we don't go back to Genesis, what is there in the New Testament that we look to? Because I always just remind my children of, you know, the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. Sorry, I'm nervous. And the second commandment is similar, which is love your neighbor as yourself. And so I kind of want to say that I don't agree with the teachers. I don't agree with his Christian philosophy saying I'm going to say I'm not going to call you by what you want to be called, because to me that's not love, you know? It just doesn't go with what Jesus said. That's my Christian interpretation of it.
Well, and if you
sure.
take a look at the New Testament in Matthew 19, why don't you take it from there, Pastor?
Sure, yeah, it's Matthew 19, verse 4, and Jesus, and it's amazing okay. because Jesus is saying it almost incredulously. He's saying to them, have you not read? He which made them at the beginning made them male and female. So when
right.
Jesus references at the beginning, he's referencing back to Genesis. But the fact is, the the truth of the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament when Christ himself, the Word made flesh, is speaking truth. The message of the kingdom is that God, in his genius, created the male and female. Then he goes into verse number 5, and he says, this is the reason. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the reason
that
they'll become one. Right.
I still can't. It's hard for me to, take all of that together and try to find some kind of common ground, you know, where we can be accepting and loving, which is what Christ wanted us to do, but also keep the word pure and not, like the pastor was saying, not be of this world. I do believe that, and I've always believed that, but it's, you know, I'm trying to reconcile both and bring more people into the flock. You know, I don't want to reject people. I want to bring them into the flock and into Jesus's love. And if I reject them for a transgender or something like that, then I'm not bringing them into the flock. And that makes me anxious also.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we speak the truth with love. So we don't compromise on either value, both the truth, the absolute truth, and the love that should be enduring. So we open our doors, we open our hearts, we open our Bible studies, of course. But when we are questioned on the nature of creation, the other passage, of course, is in Mark chapter 10, verse 6, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. When my wife came home from the doctor, she said, the doctor told me that I'm with child. I have a baby. Then we later found out, well, it's going to be a girl, it's going to be a boy, whatever it is. I don't find anything in Scripture that gives us the opportunity to say that we can choose to change the nature of the image of God. We may identify ourselves a certain way, but I think the greatest identity is we're all sinners needing to be saved by grace. And I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, excellent point. Well, we're about out of time here on this Friday edition of Washington Watch. Thank you so much for calling in with your questions, Julie, there in Virginia. Very, very good dialogue. Pastor, thank you so much. Very insightful conversations, and appreciate what you're doing at Calvary Christian Church, and definitely with FRC Action and the Watchman on the Wall ministry. And if the pastors are out there listening, you have been hearing for the better part of a half an hour the work of one of our strong P50 pastors, and how important it is to rise up, to stand up, and to be a watchman on the wall, and to encourage others to do so, like this teacher, frankly, who had great courage. I would say so, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And don't forget, Russ, please, anyone listening can direct their pastor to watchmanpastors.org to find out more about becoming a watchman on the wall.
Very good. Thank you so much, Pastor Michael Hirsch of Virginia. Appreciate you. You have a blessed weekend, okay, brother?
Bless you too, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so very much. From Isaiah 40:31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You've been listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's been a blessing to be with you. Remember this, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, indeed we will see you on Monday.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.